Okay, let's try this again. Good morning, everybody. I don't know if you saw that last video. My computer died right as I was starting. So, weird. So now you got to get this on the phone. I hope the sound quality is okay. A couple quick announcements as we get started here today. Make sure you join us for 50 Plus this Thursday. Tim Schulte, I hope I said his name right, is pastor from Lutheran Bible Translators, going to be here talking to us about all the cool things those guys are doing. You're going to think that stuff is fascinating. I hope you join us for that. Second, he's also going to be preaching in San Marcos this coming Sunday, so that'll be pretty interesting. He did that. My week's all out of sorts. He did that yesterday. and then we also have, what else we got going on this week? All kinds of stuff, you guys. Midweek things. Lent on Tuesday. Lent on Wednesday. San Marcos Tuesday. Escondido Wednesday. We got a cleanup day coming this Saturday. Please join us for that. We need all the assistance we can get. It's going to be a great way to help care for the church as we get ready for visitors showing up on Easter. So make sure you join us for that. And finally, that's all I got. I'm all scattered right now, and my brain's not totally operating fully. So I'll blame daylight savings. Let's go ahead and pray and get into our text. Father, thanks for this morning and this opportunity to study your word. I pray today, Lord, that you would guide us through this text. Give us hope and confidence always in the promises of what is to come, and keep us ever faithful to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today, there's going to be kind of a little shift in some things I've noticed here in Ecclesiastes. So far, Ecclesiastes has really emphasized, don't worry about the future, don't worry about the past, live for the moment in front of you. That is to say, make sure you're following God's law now. Who has God given you to serve in this moment? Who is the person standing right in front of you? That's who you're called to serve, and God has given you a responsibility for that. Pursuing all these other things for the future, finances or wealth or popularity or all these other things, living for pleasure, it's all vanity. Just love your neighbor and trust God. But today he is going to fix our eyes a little bit more on the future, on what is to come. And there he's going to show us what we should be properly looking towards in the future. And of course, that's going to be God. Listen to what he says. Then I saw the wicked buried. So, nice way to start a morning. They used to go in and out of the holy place and were praised in the city where they had done such things. But this also is vanity, because the sentence is against an evil deed is not executed speedily. The heart of children of man is fully set to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear before God. So what's fascinating here is the author is saying, Solomon is saying, listen, there's people who live now, they pursue all these pleasures for themselves, and they look good to the world. They get accolades. They go into the temple before God, and they look holy and righteous and better than everyone else, and they found all this worldly success, and then they die, and then they have to answer to God for it. They pursued life that glorified themselves. They pursued a life that brought them everything their flesh could want. But they did not glorify God. They did not fear the Lord. They did not trust. To fear the Lord means basically to trust him above all else and to live your life in accordance with his will as much as one is able to do that. That does include repentance. That doesn't mean a sinless life forever. That certainly does include repentance. But these people were unrepentant. And they just pursued wealth. They just pursued what pleased their flesh. And they look good to the rest of the world. But where does that get you in the end? Dead, judged, condemned. There are those then who are called to trust Christ. And that's all of us. To fear the Lord above all else. To live our lives knowing that God is watching. It's not so that we can obviously earn our salvation. But because of what Christ has done for us. Because of who we are in God. We want to do what he calls us to do. And so we pursue the things of the Lord, knowing, and we do this knowing that our eternity is secure. We do this knowing that our sins are forgiven. We do this under the mercy and the grace of God, knowing that there's always forgiveness for us, but not pursuing the things that need to be forgiven. Just understanding that we're going to sin and we're going to need to be forgiven at some point. And so we live our lives trusting God to be gracious always and trusting God have a place prepared for us. I think of this text, I think of Jesus and Satan in the wilderness. Satan offered Jesus everything God was giving to Jesus, just without the cross, just without the suffering. You can have it all now, Jesus. It can all be yours now for the little price of just bowing down and worshiping me. And man, doesn't that describe the way sin comes into our lives so often? Look, I could play the long game. I could trust Christ. I could do things the right way and follow his will and love my neighbor. Or I could also make some money a little quicker by cutting corners, by cheating some other people, by crushing them at work so that I rise above them. I could do what benefits me now and harms them now for the immediate payoff. But Jesus, of course, won't give in to that. Jesus doesn't go for the immediate payoff. Jesus says no to the devil and takes his life to the cross, where he dies and rises for you so that your eternity is secure. But because now you have that secure eternity, you can follow him. You can stand up to temptation. This is what sanctification is. It's fighting against temptation. It's fighting against the lies of the devil. It's trusting Christ's word over and against the devil's word, and clinging to Christ's promises over against clinging to the things of this world in the immediate. All right, let's keep going. There's a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. That is, people do the right thing and they suffer for it. And there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said this also is vanity. And I command joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful, for this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. So your only joy in life is not going to be based off of results. There are people who live righteously and suffer as the wicked, and there are those who live wickedly and receive the benefits of the righteous. Solomon is saying, stop pursuing all of it. Find your joy in Christ Jesus. Trust him. The one thing you have, no matter what you're facing, is that Jesus Christ has died and risen for you. And when you have Christ, you have constant joy. But apart from Christ, you're only going to be living your life trying to control the future, trying to control things. It's not going to happen. You can't control the future. You don't know what God's plans or will is for you in terms of your earthly life under the sun. What you do have joy in, what you do have confidence in, is that God's eternal plan for you is eternal life with Jesus. That's why Jesus died and rose for you. When I apply my heart to know wisdom and to see this is verse 16, and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes sleep, then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. In other words, what I was just saying, you don't know what God's going to do. You can see man working and trying to figure things out, people who are doing things the right way, and it's not panning out for them. You don't know what God's going to do with all this stuff. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. Now, that's something we don't buy into very much, because I've seen all the self-help books at Barnes & Noble that are get-rich-quick schemes and how to find perfect success in your life and how to achieve all of your goals and how if you just follow these steps, everything's going to work out. Solomon says, yeah, or not. No. I mean, sometimes that stuff's helpful. It's good to work hard. It's good to be diligent. But you can't control what God is going to do. You don't know what's going to happen. So do your job. Trust the Lord. Love your neighbor. That's all you can do under the sun. And if anybody comes along and claims to be wise and have it all figured out, they're probably selling you a pyramid scheme. It's not going to work. Here's the one thing you can have confidence in. One thing that you can have confidence in. Jesus Christ died and rose for you. You don't know what God's doing. You don't know what he's up to in this world. But you do know this, that you have been died for by Jesus, that you have been raised with Christ in your baptism, and that your eternal life is secure. So with that confidence, you can face the day knowing that you don't know what's going to happen today. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you do know that Christ Jesus has you through all of it. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, through your dear Son, Jesus, that you've kept us tonight from all harm and danger. We pray you keep us today from sin and all evil, so all our doing in life is pleasing to you. In your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies, our souls, and all things. Let your holy angels be with us, so the evil foe has no power over us. In Jesus' name, amen. God's peace, guys.